Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Man, I am so thrilled about this new series, this new journey that we're going to be on called Remarkable. But before we get into the journey, we need to define the word. What does remarkable mean? It means worthy of notice or attention, extraordinary or striking. And whenever I think about the life of Jesus, when I think about His message, it was worthy of attention and notice. When I think about His miracles were extraordinary and they were striking. Jesus was remarkable. I love the way that Mark starts this gospel in verse 1, and he says this: "This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." You see, as we go on this journey, Mark is going to tell us about this man, Jesus. He's going to tell us about the message that he preached. He's going to tell us about the miracles that he performed. But Mark starts off by saying, "I want you to know that this is only the beginning. The life, death, burial, and resurrection is only the beginning of the story." Because the followers of Jesus, as they began to establish the church on the earth after Jesus had ascended into heaven, they began to see people born again. They began to see people healed and delivered. They saw people set free. They started seeing miracles happen. And Mark is saying, "Hey guys, this good news, it is only the beginning." And as we read through the book of Mark together, here's what we're going to find. This book is full of action. And that's probably because Mark, or we could say John Mark, was his actual name, is the one who's actually transcribing this, but he's getting his stories and the personal experiences from Simon Peter. Now, Simon Peter was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He was actually in his inner circle. There were three that spent even more time with Jesus: Peter, James, and John. And Peter was in that inner circle with Jesus. And John Mark is writing down, as Peter is telling him his stories, John Mark is writing down this gospel. This is where we get the gospel of Mark. So it makes sense, because we know Peter was a man of action. Come on, he was the one that stepped out of the boat in the middle of the storm and started walking on water. He was the one always speaking up and sometimes even speaking out of turn a little bit. Peter's the one that like gives me hope for my life and for my ministry, right? And so Peter was a man of action. So it makes sense that the Gospel of Mark, it reads like an action movie. Now, speaking of movie, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, you're not going to have to wait to the end of the series to hear about the end of the story. No, instead, today, we are going to tell the story the way that Destiny watches movies. You see, Destiny watches movies on fast forward. She likes to skip through all the way to the end. She can turn a 2-hour marathon movie into a 10-minute sprint. And that's exactly how we are going to go through the gospel today. Destiny just wants to know, "I want the general storyline, but tell me how the story ends." And that's where we are going today. We are going fast forward all the way to the end of the story. See, at 30 years old, Jesus started his public ministry here on the earth. And after 3 years of fruitful and effective ministry, teaching the love of God, teaching about the power and the faithfulness of God, seeing the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear and the lepers cleansed and the sick healed, Jesus was accused, he was arrested, he was beaten, and he was crucified. And maybe you're thinking right now, why would they do that? I mean, if somebody was doing all of those good things, why would they do that to someone like Jesus? Well, that's the non-fast-forward version. You're going to have to watch the next few weeks to hear that. But today, it's the fast-forward version. So we're going all the way to the end. And after 6 hours of Jesus hanging on the cross, he chose to give up his spirit and died. Now, this is important. He chose to give up his spirit because you have to know death could not kill him. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Death could not have overruled life. Life had to surrender to death. Jesus had to choose to die on the cross. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that he could have called 10,000 angels down from heaven in just a moment. But no, instead, Jesus chose to give up his life. The enemy didn't take it. Jesus gave it up. And after Jesus died on the cross, he was buried in a tomb. And although it looked like it was over, it was just the beginning. You see, the Bible says as we go all the way to the last chapter of the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 16, there were some women who were up early on that third day, and they were going to the tomb to put some spices on Jesus's body. And as they were on the way, they started discussing, and they thought, oh man, who is going to move the stone? That big stone was there. Who's going to move the stone? And as they approached the tomb, the Bible says in verse 4 that when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. Now, how many of you are like me, and that's not going to help you? When you walk in and you don't see Jesus laying there, but there's a man in a white robe with his face glowing, and he says, don't be alarmed. How many know that's not helpful? I'm going to be alarmed, okay? Don't be alarmed, he says. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. You see, this is what we celebrate today. On Easter Sunday, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are celebrating the fact that he conquered death so that we could have life. We are celebrating the fact that he conquered hell so that we could have hope. We are celebrating the fact that he overcame it all to empower us so that we could overcome in our lives. And as we go through the Gospel of Mark, we're going to see three major messages. And I want to talk about those major messages today. And we're going to keep it right there at the very end of his gospel. Here's the first major message of the Gospel of Mark. And it is this: Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. You see, this isn't an old story. This is the only story. This isn't old news. No, my friend, this is still good news. Jesus wasn't just a wise teacher. He wasn't a revolutionary. He was not just a prophet. No, Jesus was the Son of God. And we don't serve Jesus because he died on a cross. Instead, we serve Jesus because he got up out of a grave. Sure, he died to pay the penalty of our sin, but he rose out of the grave to break the power of sin. You see, many people died for their cause, but only one got up because they could, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive. The Bible says in 1 Peter, once again, don't forget, John Mark is writing this story coming from Peter. He's just transcribing it. So the Gospel of Mark coming from Peter, here is actually a letter that Peter wrote himself, and this is what he says. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. You see, because Jesus is alive, heaven can be ours. I want you to hear that again. Because Jesus is alive, Heaven can be ours. This is such good news that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And not just eternal life one day, but we can have abundant life today. Because Jesus is alive, you can experience abundant life right now where you are in this season of life. Now, since we fast-forwarded all the way to the end, let's rewind the tape for a moment, if you would, and let's see how this man, Jesus, launched onto the scene. And as we read in Mark chapter 1, I mean, Jesus launched into the scene in pretty dramatic, amazing, incredible fashion with this baptism in the Jordan River. And Jesus is baptized by John. The Bible says that John was baptizing people for the repentance of sin. And John and Jesus have this amazing exchange there in the Jordan River. And John's like, I shouldn't be baptizing you, man. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, you got to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And John's like, okay, if you say so. And he baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. And when Jesus comes up out of the water, the scripture says that the heavens open, that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like as a dove. And if that wasn't enough, then the voice of God thunders from heaven and says, this is my dearly loved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my Son and he brings me great joy. I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty good start to your earthly ministry. And just a few verses later, we see as Jesus really begins to make his ministry debut. In chapter 1, verse 14, says that Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Here's the second major message that we see in Mark's gospel. The kingdom is near. Now, I love what Jesus says, that the kingdom of God, this is the time has come, and the kingdom of God has come near. What does that mean? That means that you don't have to go on a wild goose chase to find it. That means that you don't have to accomplish something amazing in order to access it. You don't have to just hope that you get lucky and stumble into it. No, God has brought his kingdom near to you for you. God brought his kingdom near to you for you. What does this mean? This means that God is closer than we even think he is. And this is the way that he wanted it. You see, if we're honest, sometimes the idea of God can make him seem so far away. Sometimes the idea of God can feel so difficult to comprehend and to even connect to. Sometimes the idea of God and his standards can appear to be almost unreachable. So what did God do? God sent his Son so that his kingdom could come near. Now, when we look at the kingdom of God, there are two different ways to look at it. The first is, broadly speaking, the kingdom of God is the rule of an eternal sovereign God over his entire creation. Surely God rules over everything that he created. But the other way to look at it, more narrowly speaking, the kingdom of God is the spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those who are willingly submitted to God's authority. Those who acknowledge the lordship of Christ and gladly surrender to God's rule in their hearts. And Jesus says that the kingdom of God is near. And because the kingdom of God came near, the king can live in here. You see, God sent his son to bring the kingdom near so that the ultimate purpose of that was that the king could live in here. And this is why we get to live differently. We get to live differently because we aren't under the authority, reign, or rule of the world any longer, because we get to pledge allegiance to a king, because the kingdom has come and now that king sets the rule and the reign in our hearts and our lives and empowers us to live differently. So I get to begin to live out God's way in my life because I surrendered to the king and I surrendered to his kingdom. And Jesus came to tell us, hey, the kingdom is near. God brought this close to you because God brought this gift to you. The kingdom is near. But now we would say, okay, Philip, but how do we get this life? How do we get this eternal life? How do we get this abundant life? How do we get this new life that God brought to us? How do we do that? Well, it's found in verse 15, and it says, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. This is the third major message of Mark's gospel. Repent and believe. Now, if you were raised in church, that word repent, it might have some negative connotations. And maybe even if you weren't raised in church, as you've seen people on some street corners holding up these signs that say, repent, and they got this mean, angry look on your face, and you're thinking, man, if that's what a Christian looks like, I don't want any part of that. You see, the word repent, it might have been hijacked and used by others without context and without love, but there is nothing wrong with the word. The word repent is actually a beautiful word. And when we look at that word in the Greek, it is metanoia. And that word for repent, it literally means to change one's mind. To change one's mind, to change one's opinion. And Jesus comes and he says, repent and believe. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, change what you think about God and believe what I am telling you about God. Repent. Change your mind about the way you think about life and begin to believe what I tell you about life. God is near. God loves you, and he sent me to die for you. Repent and believe this message that I am more than enough for you. You see, the scripture says in 2 Peter, once again, this is where we're getting the gospel of Mark, and Peter is writing this letter to the church in his own handwriting, and he says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It is God's will that everyone comes to repentance. What does that mean? It is God's will that everyone would change their mind about how they think about him, how they think about themselves, how they think about life, how they think about their past, their present, and their future, that everyone would come to this place of repentance. Now, repentance is not just feeling bad about things that you have done. Repentance is not just regretting and wishing that you would have done things differently. No, repentance is a change of perspective. Repentance is a change of thinking that will lead to a change in our behavior and our actions. You see, feeling bad about what you've done never changes anybody. Wishing that you would have done things differently in the past is not enough to make you live differently in the future. No, the only way that we are changed, the only way that we are transformed is when we repent, when we begin to change the way that we think. You see, whenever you decide to change the way that you think about God, whenever you choose to believe that Jesus paid the price for your sin, a price that you could never pay, and whenever you begin to believe that Jesus gave you his righteousness, something that you could never attain on your own, only then are you able to begin to live the life that you were created to live. You see, Jesus did not come to live a life and to preach a message so that you feel worthless. No, Jesus lived his life and preached a message so that he could give you something priceless. He came to give you the good news. The good news that God is closer to you than you can even imagine. Jesus is alive. Jesus brought the kingdom of God near to you. And all you have to do is repent and believe. Folks, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. And Mark started it all off, and he wanted us to know, hey, this is only the beginning. You see, in these moments, in our personal lives, it's only the beginning. When we realize that Jesus Christ is alive, that he defeated death, hell, and the grave so that he could bring me victory, so he could bring me hope, so that he can bring me salvation, joy, and eternity. Whenever I realize for the first time that God brought the kingdom near, I don't have to go on this journey to find it. I don't have to do something in order to get it. No. But Jesus brought the kingdom near to me for me. And whenever I realize that all I have to do is repent, is change the way that I think, just to change the direction of my life by thinking differently about God and myself and the plans that he has for my future. You see, the good news changes everything. And the same way that Mark wanted you to know, I'm going to tell you the beginning of this story. This is the beginning of all of our story. For every Christ follower, this is the good news, but it's the beginning of the story. And here's what I believe today. I believe today that this is the beginning of some of your stories. This is going to be the beginning when you really believe for the first time Jesus is alive. When you really understand that he brought the kingdom near to you for you, that God is close, that he really does love you, that he really does see you, and that he really is moving towards you even now in this moment. And the only thing you have to do is to repent and say, God, I want to change my mind about the way that I think about life, the way that I think about you, the way that I think about my past, my present, and my future. God, I want to think differently. I believe that your sacrifice on the cross was enough for my sins. I believe that your spirit can change me and transform me. I choose today to put my hope, my trust, my faith in you and in you alone. This is the beginning of all of our stories. Mark said, it's the beginning of the story that I'm going to tell you, and it's the beginning of all of our stories. Will you pray with me today? Father, we thank you today once again for your goodness. We thank you today for your grace. God, we thank you for these three major messages that John Mark wanted us to know all of these years later. Jesus is alive. The kingdom of God has come near. And all we have to do is repent and believe. Right now, as you are watching this, maybe you're sitting in your living room, in your kitchen, maybe you're still in bed. And as you watch this and you think, man, I want to experience this abundant life that Jesus said was possible. I want to be sure that I spend eternity in heaven with God. And today you want to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. You want to grab a hold of this message, these major messages. And you say, Philip, today I believe that Jesus is alive. Today I believe that the kingdom has come near to me for me. And that all I have to do is repent and change my mind. And that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the direction of my life will begin to change as I put my belief and faith in Christ and in Him alone. If that's you today, you say, Philip, you are talking straight to me. All I want you to do right there where you are is just to say these words, God, this was for me, and I believe. Come on, just say it out loud. God, this is for me. I believe. That's right. Salvation is for you. Eternal life is for you. The abundant life is for you. Peace and joy, it is for you. Just confess that to God. God, this is for me. Salvation is for me. God, I believe. This is for me. I believe it. I believe it. Father, we thank you today that our eternity is not something that we earn. Our salvation is not something that we work for. But our eternity and salvation was purchased by Jesus Christ. And we put our faith and trust in Him and in His sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. If so, hit the subscribe button so you can hear more. For more information on how to connect with NCC, visit ncc.team.